Okay, I'd like to call the Gustavus City Council regular meeting to order. Today is May 11th, 2020, and it's 7:03 PM. Karen, can I get a roll call, please?
Councilmember Owens? Councilmember Owens?
I'm sorry, could you repeat?
I'm doing roll call. Are you here?
Yes, sorry. I was doing star six and it bleeped you out.
Okay, Councilmember Taylor?
Here.
Councilmember Warner?
Here.
Vice Mayor Cannamore?
Here.
Mayor Cassipet?
Here.
Councilmember Clark?
Here.
Councilmember Vander Zanden?
Here.
Okay, there are seven members present and a quorum exists.
Okay, before starting the meeting, just wanted to have folks remember, members of the public, to mute your phones and keep your video off. It helps from bombing people off the meeting. Karen has the meeting packet up on the shared screens for folks to review. It's also online at our website. If you would like to speak during public comment, please click the participant button at the bottom of your screen and click the raised hand and you'll be recognized. If you are using your computer when it's time to speak, it's easiest just to hold down your space bar and that temporarily unmutes you while you talk. Also, at the last general meeting, we had several community members comment multiple times on the same agenda item. We're going to try to keep that under control this time. We'll try to ask people to limit your comments to one time only per the subject and try to limit your comments to no more than 3 minutes so that we can get through our agenda tonight. It's a pretty long agenda. So with that, we get to item three, approval of last general meeting's. Okay, we're at item number three, approval of minutes from our April 13th, 2020 general meeting. I would entertain a motion to approve the general meeting minutes. Is there a council member willing to present a motion to approve the minutes from our last general meeting?
This is council member Clark. Mr. Mayor, I move to approve the minutes from our last meeting.
Second.
It's been moved by Councilman Clark and seconded by Vice Mayor Cannamore to approve the minutes of April 13th, 2020. So it's been moved and seconded. Is there any members of the public wish to any offer additions or Seeing no hands raised from the public for changes or corrections to the minutes, do any council members have any additions or corrections to the minutes? Seeing none, there are no additions or corrections from council members. Are there any objections to passing these general meeting minutes from April 13, 2020 by unanimous consent? If there anybody object to unanimous consent, please raise your hand. Seeing or hearing no objections, the meeting minutes from April 13, 2020 are approved. Next is item four, Mayor's request for agenda changes. I have no request for agenda changes. And if there are no objections, I'll adopt the agenda by unanimous consent. If there's any objection to unanimous consent, please. Okay, no objections. The agenda is set. On to item five, committee and staff reports. I would ask staff to state your name, your department, and keep your reports brief. Try to keep it to 5 minutes or so. And council can ask clarifying questions after you're done. So the first one up is the Gustavus Volunteer Fire Department COVID-19 update. Travis, do you want to take it?
Sure. So real quick, the general overview of what we have been doing is been pretty much the same since last meeting that I reported on, or even last month at the last general meeting. We've just been doing a lot of public education and a lot of awareness to people coming in on the plane. A rough estimate of people that have come in since the declaration, travel declaration form was required, is just over 60 people at this point. That includes essential workers coming in mainly to work on the dock, and then the people coming to hang out in their second homes that live here in the summertime, and then people have been traveling for medical reasons as well. So those are the main three people coming in. But anyways, as of today, 381 cases in Alaska, 328 are recovered. There's been 38 hospitalizations and 10 deaths. I saw that there's 43 active cases in the state of Alaska is the number that I read on the news today. The main thing, I guess, that we have been doing are, I really want to thank a few people first, and that's Mike Taylor, Shelly Owens, Colleen, Leah, Tim Sunday. They've been doing a lot of answering questions and dealing with the public for me, meeting groups, and Larry, there's other people that I'm missing, but those are the main ones that have been calling my phone the most and helping out. Meeting planes and answering questions mainly on people trying to travel in and essential workers trying to travel in and replying those emails and doing all of that. So I thank them a lot, and they've been Mike knows how many hours I was putting in on that before I have before those two little groups were formed. So they're working and trying to stay ahead of the curve with the governor and trying to predict a little bit on might be what coming up on some of the mandates, so that we're for being doing the right thing on traveling into Gustavus. We're hoping to have a work session coming up so that we can discuss all of the traveling into Gustavus issues and try to clean up some of this stuff and make sure that we're following the state mandates like we're supposed to here after this meeting sometime. So I think that's Mike's already been working on that. Other than that, I just want to pitch real quick. in case you guys have questions, there had, like I said, not much has changed since we talked last week. But what I, one thing I do want to say is that as of today, pretty much right now, that there's 48 wildfires in Alaska being tracked. That's pretty good number for this time of the year. If you guys didn't read the news or see on Facebook that there was a pretty good little fire going on in Juneau, in Eagle Beach or something like that, that the Forest Service worked for a little while. But just over the last couple days, I just want to say between 1 p.m. and 7 p.m., those are our driest moments in the day. The humidity has been down between 34% and between averages about 34 gets down to 23% yesterday at 4:30 p.m. So the humidity is low, the temperature's right, the winds are just a little low to make it a real red ban by the state, fire ban by the state right now. So please be careful on your fires. Please don't be burning big brush. Please, please don't burn if you have, if you don't have to burn. It is super dry. If you haven't been outside, I would assume everybody has. So it is super dry. This is my scariest moment. This month is my scariest month because it is so dry out with the dry from the dry grass and stuff from wintertime. So please be careful. That's all I guess I really have at this time. So thank you.
Okay, thank you, Travis. Is any council members got any questions for Travis? Okay, on to item 5B, Gustavus Visitors Association.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead, Leah.
Hi, so I'm just going to speak about the Visitor Association budget to start with. So last year of fiscal year 2000, we received $32,000 from the city and we received $4,000 from our membership dues. So we had a total sum of $36,000 to work with, and we are at, we've utilized 75% of that by the fourth quarter. And by June 30th this year, we would have spent pretty much all of that. And I just want to speak about what we've spent it on and what our focus is for the Gustavus Visitor Association. Now, the majority of that money has gone to marketing. And the remainder of it, what was left, has gone to the administration and the accounting side of the organization. So our main focus and the majority of the money is marketing. And this year, it's never been more important than to really to ramp up the marketing as much as possible. Our goal for the Gustavus Visitor Association is to fill the capacity of the inns and the accommodations and all the businesses that operate here in Gustavus, to put Gustavus in view internationally so that people know that we're here and bring people here so that we can, all the businesses can can thrive and strive and do well for next season. You know, I don't know what this season's going to deliver, but certainly for the next couple of years, we really need to get as much marketing out there as possible so that people know that we're here, that we exist, that our businesses are here, and collectively work together. So that is the focus of the Gustavus Visitor Association. It's community-based, it's Gustavus-based, to bring visitors here to fill up the businesses. So I've sent the packet, and there's a lot of its information in there. And with that, I ask you if you have any questions. Also, we have the entire board of the Gustavus Visitor Association is also online, and you can ask any one of us questions. But I will welcome your questions from the City Council if you have any.
Okay, council members, any question for Leah? Okay, next is the Rooker.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Hi, so this is Erin Olson. I'm the executive director of the Rookery, and I'm giving our quarterly report for January through March. And so we are closed due to COVID-19, and we're not sure yet when we're going to open. We have been pretty lucky. We were able to get the economic injury disaster loan, that $10,000, through the federal stimulus. And so we are fine financially during our closure. So for this fiscal year, we are all right. We're super happy about that. In my report, I answered to some concerns from the community about this funding the city gives us, just saying that out of that $150,000 that we received in the grant for this year, we don't expect monetary carryover. That grant is only for 1 year, not for 3 years. We feel that our staff is finally making wages similar to the rest of the state for the jobs they're doing. And we don't only offer our programs for a handful of children. We serve 13 to 30 kids each month for the last few years, which benefit over 15 local businesses. Volunteer tracking for that quarter, we estimated 126 volunteer hours. And more for staff who've completed education and gone to conferences. Pretty exciting update on the expanded facility. We do have a brand new document that's a feasibility assessment for the potential of a much larger Rookery facility. It's just a neat document. It doesn't commit anybody to anything. But it's exciting that we've got something official that we could use for grant writing if we chose. Also, I believe we'll have an expansion on our existing facility within the next 6 months, fingers crossed. And then I've got our financial statements, and I'll just open it up to council questions if you have any. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Erin. Any questions for Erin from the council? Go ahead, Susan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm sorry, do I have this report somewhere? It wasn't in the packet.
Karen just said it was in the packet.
It's page 25.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Erin? Well, I did, Erin, I did want to thank you for including those frequent, I don't know if you want to call them frequently asked questions or whatever, but you know, concerns that the public have talked about at meetings before. Thanks for putting that information together and including that in your report. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Okay, next is disposal and recycling center. Paul, you want to take it?
Yeah, good evening. It's a very interesting experience to be able to partake in a public meeting from my little office here looking out into Icy Strait. It's a great view, though. It's a nice evening, so I guess it's not all bad. You can see my report there. I'll try not to say what I've already written, and I'll keep it within the 5 minutes. I can see my little clock here. I can get kind of long-winded about the facility, and I know you've got a very busy agenda. One of the things I forgot to put in the meeting was a thank you to the City and Borough of Juneau. In September of last year, we shipped 21,000 pounds, that's 10 tons of mixed paper, almost 2 years worth, to Waste Management, which manages capital disposal there in Juneau and does the recycling for the City and Borough of Juneau. And when I went to say, hey, we need to settle up on this and whatnot, they had donated their services and called it a pilot shipment. And so that's a good savings for the city. And just kind of, I mean, it was very smooth. I tracked the whole shipment last September, you know, with everything, and it was all very smooth. So we only had to cover the shipping to getting it to Juneau. And working with the city and borough for recycling has always been good. They don't recycle as many items as we do, so I can't use them for everything that we do. But for a lot of our heavy products that are really expensive to ship, they're a pretty good place to look. So I've covered a lot of different things in this report. It's a long one, but I really encourage you to take the time to read it because I've put things that I feel are important for the community in there. Questions you might have as far as how we're reacting to the COVID-19 crisis, the success we had with our compost sales, and the really cool picture that Sean took with his drone of people waiting in line for their compost sales. And actually, one of the other things that I didn't put in my report that's coming up is we're doing permit renewal. Every 5 years, the city has to renew its operating permit with the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation. And I'm going to use the aerial views of the facility as part of our site diagram. In the past, I've always used these very old drawings that started with something that John Scott did back in 1994 that I kind of added things to. This time I can use some really good real-time pictures of the facility when I'm doing the site placement. So it's really been nice having this resource of drones to take aerial photographs of the facility. It's just better information. That's kind of cover a lot of different things in that. And one of the other aspects is I do talk about the mound. And just kind of gave a little lesson there as far as, you know, some of the concerns we have. We know when we're building a mound of waste and why that's not typical of a small landfill. So I think that's, I really wanted to spell that out just so people can remember that, you know, if you are building a waste mound in your community, which is, you know, something I want to move away from, that there are risks associated with it. It's not something you really want to do as a long-term strategy for the life of your facility to have a large waste mound. I mean, larger facilities do it, but they have a whole different suite of controls when they do something like that. So for a small community with no liner and no cap, it's really important to think about these things and to try to come up with alternatives besides mounting waste. I put in a section on the illegal dumping in the community, and I was finally able to write out the 5 factors of why people don't use the DRC. This is something I've been building in my mind for the last 25 years, and so I was really pleased to be able to spell that out and report. And I would like to work with the council going forward with this, because I think, you know, there's an approach to each one of them, and cost and convenience, politics, privacy, and ignorance. You know, everything from just bigger signs that let people who have never been in the community before know where your landfill is. And to things like privacy, which are unique for small towns just because everybody knows everybody and we still got to get rid of things and we still have to respect people's privacy. You know, so there's a lot of different aspects that go into that. But that's a real important topic. And I would really like to, you know, explore the possibility of, you know, the city absorbing the cost of doing the food waste composting program as an example. And I'm happy to produce more information on that as we all look into it, because I think that's a really good way of approaching that. And with the community chest, there's not too much to report. I'm really hoping that we can replace the fence that is falling apart in the back of the facility since we have all this nice weather and some time and it's kind of slow right there. I covered some things in the solid waste management plan as far as some ideas and stuff, why it's important. And I hope we can reschedule a meeting sometime with the council and myself at the facility. I would really like to be able to have a one-on-one or one with a group, you know, where we can, you can ask questions and I can show you things about the facility, just to help see, you know, so you can see why I want to promote the equipment purchases and why the new building is important and stuff like that. And then I've kind of gone over the ongoing projects we have in the capital project, you know, with the composting and the inflow storage area, hazardous waste facility, and the new building, just as far as ideas and stuff. So I'll leave you with that, unless you have any questions for me.
Okay, thank you, Paul. Is there any council questions for Paul? Okay, thank you, Paul. Next, we have Phoebe. So give me a chance to mute myself here so Phoebe can talk about having a bunch of feedback.
Good evening. I just have a couple quick things to go over. This is kind of a lot of culmination on this agenda tonight of things we've been working on over the past few months. The capital improvement plan is up for adoption. Again, we ran out of time to work on that last month. And I really encourage people to check that out for what's near term and long term capital projects that are headed for the city. We'll be introducing the budget tonight for fiscal year 21, which starts on July 1st. And that's been quite the process this year with all the COVID-19 impacts and changes. So I look forward to that discussion this evening. And I also encourage people to read that document. I know it's kind of big, but it's got a lot of background information in the introduction and then some nice summaries from the departments about what people have been working on. And then we have non-code ordinances on the agenda tonight for finalizing up the fiscal year that we're in right now, which we do every spring. I've done the insurance renewals for our general liability, property, and workers' compensation insurance, and those premiums are all, the liability and property premiums went up, and that has been incorporated into the FY21 budget, fiscal year 21 budget. But I haven't gotten the actual figures. We're expecting them this week for what the numbers will definitely be. Endowment fund grants are continuing to run smoothly for our two grantees. And then I've got I took over the beach restrooms and trash cans over the winter while the marine facilities coordinator was off. And I wanted to express my appreciation to 99.9% of the citizens for being so responsible down there. I really appreciate it. One last thing I wanted to plug was people doing the U.S. Census online. I'd been, on a personal note, I'd been waiting for something to show up in the mail with a little code I was supposed to enter, which it never showed up, but you don't need the code and you just can go to the website and do it, and it takes 10 minutes. And those numbers are really important for getting a clear picture of the demographics of Gustavus. So get it done, people, please. And that's all I have, unless there's questions.
Okay, any questions for Phoebe on the financials or anything, or because she's had the financial balance sheets up too, if you've got questions on those. Okay, no questions for Phoebe. Next is our city administrator, Tom, go ahead.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, I have a short report this evening. My first STAR is funding the community assistance program. At the work session last week, I mentioned that we were looking to have an update in terms of the uses for the CARES Act funding. Hopefully on Friday, the governor in his briefing pitched the ball to the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee for delivering a decision and providing the different CARES Act funding to the different areas. Did not have a decision on the community, the municipality use. So we're still waiting to hear. In his brief tonight, he didn't discuss the CARES Act funding, and I'm hoping that we'll hear something by Wednesday. If we hear something before that, I'll shoot information out to everybody as soon as I get it. The other STAR is the Economic Stabilization Team. This is an effort headed by Councilmember Warner and recruited Councilmembers Clark and Canmore to help her. It's in its infancy, and Councilmember Warner is working on putting together the components of this team to help the community in the post-COVID timeframe coming up, hopefully soon. That's all I have as far as the report. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Okay, thank you, Tom. Any questions for Tom from the council? Okay, no questions for Tom. Thank you. We're on to the next item, item 7, our consent agenda. On the consent agenda today, we have FY20-18 NCO, introduction providing for the amendment of department budgets for FY20. I'm sorry. I got ahead of myself. I have next on the agenda is item 6, public comment on non-agenda items. I'm sorry. Any public out there who wants to comment on a non-agenda item, raise your hand and you will be recognized. Okay, no public comment on non-agenda items. We're on to the consent agenda item number 7. The first one is FY20-18 NCO, introduction of providing for the amendment of department budgets for FY20. And the second one, FY20-19 NCO, introduction providing for the amendment of our road maintenance budgets for FY20. We discussed these both at our work session last week. This is basically, Phoebe had mentioned the 20-18 NCO, basically getting our end of year budget done for FY20. And then this other one, FY20-19 NCO, this is basically returning funds. We're accepting funds from our roads receipts, our forest receipts, and then sending that money back to the money that was in the roads, sending that back to our savings account. So at this point, I would ask for a motion to approve the.
Mr. Mayor, I move we adopt the consent agenda by unanimous consent as presented.
Is there a second?
Second. This is Taylor seconding.
Okay, the consent agenda has been moved to be approved by Member Van der Zanden and seconded by Member Taylor. Is there, if there's no objections to adopting this agenda by unanimous consent? Did anybody from the council want any of these items removed from the consent agenda? Sorry, I missed a step. Okay, it doesn't look like there's anything that needs to be, that has been requested to be removed from the consent agenda. If there is no objections to unanimous consent, we will adopt the any public comment on the consent. Doesn't look like there's any comment on the consent agenda. Is there any objection to unanimous consent for passing the consent agenda? If so, raise your hand. Seeing or hearing no objections, the consent agenda is passed by unanimous consent. Okay, now we're on to 9, unfinished business. The first item up is item 9A, the City of Gustavus Capital Improvement Plan for 2020 to 2025. I would entertain a motion to adopt the capital improvement.
Mr. Mayor, I move to adopt the City of Gustavus Capital Improvement Plan for the 2020 through 2025.
And this is Shelley, I second.
Okay, it's been moved by Vice Mayor Kenmore, seconded by Member Owen, to approve the City of Gustavus Capital Improvement Plan for 2020 to 2025. Is there any public comment? Seeing no public comment, it is now. I'm sorry. There's two people on here. I have Charles and Decker. We'll go with. Go ahead, Charles. Go ahead, Charles.
I think I'm unmuted now. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah, hello. I just wanted to make a comment on the capital improvement plan. I think there was something on the beach section of the capital improvement plan, and I'd just like to make a comment that a little bit opposed to the cost of the signage and the cost of the improvements that are going on down there. So I just wanted to throw that in there for the council to review.
Okay, thank you, Charles. Are there any questions for Charles from the council? Okay, Decker, you're next. And please introduce yourself, your first and last name for the record so Karen can get it.
This is Zach Decker. On the capital improvement plan, when was this, where is this plan? Where can we get a copy? I've never seen the plan displayed anywhere that I could understand. So I think maybe some of the public out there might not fully understand what your process is and what you're doing to participate, such as myself, and to fully comment respectfully on the plan to know what over the next 5 years the city's going to be spending the money on and improving. So if where I can get the stuff and or is it too late and after today it's in place and moving forward?
Okay, I'm going to have Phoebe handle that real quick.
Hi, thanks for the questions. This capital improvement plan, this is our third year of doing it, and there's hard copies posted at the post office and at the library when you could get in there, and at City Hall, and it's also on our website. And it gets developed kind of over the winter, beginning with the January work sessions when we're working on our legislative requests to the state. That kind of kicks off the process, and then it's developed over the next couple work sessions, and then usually introduced by mid to late spring. It was on the agenda for last month also and in the packet, but got delayed due to running out of time. This is not a funding document. This is just used for planning. The departments and council identify the projects that are kind of on the horizon for the different departments, and then each project before money is actually spent, there'll be a scoping document submitted and a non-code ordinance, which will be introduced at one meeting and then have a public hearing at a second meeting before any funds are actually transferred and spending can begin. Council, any discussion on the capital improvement program? Are we ready for the question? There's Susan. Go ahead, Susan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to point out, I've lost my page again. On page 60, There is a note that this capital project was developed before COVID-19 and that priorities may change when this document gets revisited. Yeah. Thank you for putting that up, Madam Clerk. So thank you for putting that in, Phoebe. I really appreciate that. And that's all I've got. Thanks.
Go ahead, Joe Clark. You're next.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is probably a question for Travis, but I was asked to ask this question about the defibrillator and the price tag on the defibrillator. I was looking online and the cost online for a standard defibrillator is around $1,300. This one is $38,000. I don't know much about these defibrillators, and I was wondering what's special about this one.
Would you like me to answer that, Cal?
Yes, go ahead, Travis.
So, Joe, this is not just an AED, but it's also it's a monitor, I guess is the other term that we use for it. It takes your blood pressure, it takes the oxygen levels in your blood, it counts your breaths per minute, it shocks you, in the future, it'll allow us to pace your heart back to a normal rhythm when the state allows us to do that. And it does these set to different levels depending on what type of emergency it is, whether it's a trauma or just a medical call. It does it every 5 minutes or 10 minutes. It also stores that data on a computer system and all of that good stuff. So it's not just like the AED that you see for $1,500 that you put that's sitting in City Hall or at the library or at, I think there's one at the library now. And at the other various places in town, this does a lot more. It's a piece of medical equipment, not just a piece of equipment on the wall. That is, I guess, still a piece of medical equipment. Just a lot more high tech. We already have one. This is just replacing the one that we currently use.
Thank you for that answer, Travis.
I also wanted to point out that we have a pretty good chance of getting a Code Blue grant on this one too. So,
yeah, that money, that's been approved, and I should have a letter for that here in the next few days. There's $15,000 of grant money on this.
Okay, any other questions or discussion on the council for the CIP list? Okay, looks like we're ready for the question. Karen, can I have a roll call vote, please?
Councilmember Owens?
Owens? Yes.
Vice Mayor Cannamore?
Yes.
Mayor Cassapit?
Yes.
Councilmember Warner?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Van der Zanden? Councilmember Van der Zanden? Just muted him.
There, I voted no.
Okay. Councilmember Clark? Councilmember Clark?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes 6-1.
Well, why did I lose this?
Pardon me, Joe?
Okay, we're on to the next item, item 9B, write-off of ambulance transport fee for an out-of-state Medicaid enrollee. I'd entertain your motion. Okay, next on the agenda was a motion to write off our ambulance transport fee for an out-of-state Medicaid enrollee. We talked about this our work session last week. Phoebe was here. Basically, it costs us more money than it's worth to try to collect this state Medicaid cost.
Mr. Mayor, I move to write off the ambulance transport fee for out-of-state Medicaid enrollee.
This is Taylor seconding. That.
I have it moved by Clark, member Joe Clark, and seconded by member Taylor to write off the ambulance transport fee for an out-of-state Medicaid enrollee. Is there any public comment? No public comment. Now it's on the table for council deliberation and debate. Any comments by council? Okay, we'll call for the question. Karen, roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Van der Zanden?
Yes.
Yes.
Councilmember Warner?
Yes.
Mayor Cassapit?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Cannamore?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Yes.
Councilmember Owens?
Yes.
Councilmember Clark?
Yes.
Motion passes 7-0.
Okay, next is item 9C. It's an issuance of our RFQ FY20-06, our library roof repair. We've been waiting a while to reissue this RFQ, so I'd entertain a motion to issue this RFQ.
Mr. Mayor, this is Shelley Owens. I move to reissue the RFQ FY20-06 library for the library roof repair.
Seconded, Warner.
It's been moved by Member Owens and seconded by Member Warner to issue RFQ FY20-06, our library roof repair. Is there any public comment? Okay, doesn't look to be like there's any public comment on the library roof repair. Is there any council comment on this? Go ahead, Susan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have a question for the treasurer. Phoebe, if we were to award both this library RFQ and the DRC RFQ, would that take us below the minimum unrestricted fund balance required by resolution CY18-18? I'm referring to page 42 of the unrestricted fund balance note that you have at the bottom of the page.
Thanks, Susan. That unrestricted fund balance sheet is it starts out with what our checking account balance is at the end of the month, and then all of the funds that are already allocated to something or restricted are listed there, and then what remains in the checking account is what is unrestricted. And so these capital project funds have already been moved to the checking account and are sitting in there as restricted funds. And so it doesn't affect the unrestricted funds at all. They're already accounted for on that list above, that final total at the bottom.
Excellent. Thank you for that clarification. I appreciate it.
Councilmember Owens?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Mayor Cassapit? Yes. Councilmember Warner?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Cannamore?
Yes.
Councilmember Clark?
Yes.
Councilmember van der Zanden?
Yes.
Motion passes 7-0. Sorry, this is the first page, isn't it? Oh. Is that okay, Phoebe? Oh, I don't think I have it in the packet then. Do I have to put it up? I don't want to have the wrong page up there. Sorry, Phoebe.
Yeah, Cal, can you hear me? And Cal, you were muted. I just want to express my support for posting this RFQ. This is the second time this has come before the council. It was a year ago that I also presented RFQ, but that one wasn't ready, as I learned, because it did not have an engineer's stamp. And so over the course of the preceding year, from last May to this May, I worked with a local builder, Matt Davis, an engineer in Juneau, came up with plans that are for this site by a local builder. So that to date, the city has invested over $6,000 in this project. This is a Davis-Bacon project because it's more than $25,000, and it involves a lot of concrete because concrete's a durable product, so that makes it more expensive. But that, you know, is determined to be the best material for the project, and because the project was more than $25,000, makes it Davis-Bacon, which just makes it, you know, more of an expensive project. This is a really good year to do it, in terms of not having as much food waste flow through the facility as usual, like Glacier Bay Lodge, because it's going to be difficult for us to both compost food waste and not have the Quonset at the same time, especially if it's a wet summer. But if it's by, you know, operating during a reduced time, this would be a good time for this project. This also would be a good way of supporting local contractors who are able to build a project like this, because this is a way of, you know, turning the city funds back into local jobs for contractors, electricians. So this, I just wanted to express my support for this project. Thank you.
Unmuting when I, okay. Thanks. Thanks, Paul. I got a little out of order here. I'm sorry. I need a motion to put this on the table before we can discuss it technically. So I'm looking for a motion to put this on.
Mr. Mayor, this is Taylor. I move to approve the issuance of RFQ CP 19-06 DRC New Compost System Project.
Second from Warner.
Okay, it's moved by Mike Taylor and seconded Mike Taylor, Councilman Mike Taylor, seconded by Susan Warner to issue RFQ CP 19-06 DRC New Compost System Project. Public comments on this issue. Any public comments on the RFQ for the new compost system at the DRC? No public comment, looks like. It's now to the council table for discussion and debate. Any go ahead, Joe Van Der Zandt.
Yeah, question for Paul. I don't know how much income came from compost this year. I know there's always a demand for more and that it's a hot item. I was just curious, in your estimation, if you know, if it's increased twofold or more than that, what are the chances of this being self-sustaining as far as the cost of the project and running it, the extra labor for composting, or will it become just more of a city subsidy, a city service? Thanks.
Yeah, Joe, I'm happy to answer your question. And I actually did put those numbers that you spoke of in my report. So if you look in my report, you can see how much compost sales generated. Typically for an operation like ours, which is small and has a high quality product, you're not really going to recover the cost of what you're doing with a larger scale project like what Juno Compost has in Juno, where you're doing it for thousands of people, then I think you can actually have a self-sustaining, you know, with grants for infrastructure and by working with the local municipality, then you can have something that's closer to self-sustaining. But for a smaller operation, I don't think you can expect that this would become self-sustaining. That said, this is a structure that is intended to have, you know, not maintenance, you know, it's not going to collapse like the Quonset would. It's intended to be, you know, a durable structure. And so we're basically going to be doing the same composting operation that we've always done, but this one is a little more robust. So it should take somewhat less operator time in order to do it and be a little more straightforward in its operation in terms of how I train the other operators to use it and stuff like that. So it's improving our operation. So it will not be adding costs to our facility, but it will allow us to process more. So if we get into food waste composting, I mean, not food waste, but fish waste composting, or if we're doing a greater volume, you know, because we're, you know, not charging for it or something like that, that allows us to see more volume, then we'd be able to turn more compost over in a given amount of space because of how this facility is designed with active aeration and stuff like that. So it's not going to add costs, but it is not something, I mean, it would, whether it pays for itself or not, it really depends on labor and how much you charge for your service. And if you want people to use the service, or if you want to have compost that is affordable, there are certain thresholds. You know, you can't charge a full amount, but I think you kind of have to look at it. It's important to be able to process these materials. And, you know, it's kind of keeping food waste out of the mound and just kind of keeping things in circulation and, you know, making usable products out of the waste stream is the important part. But I don't see it as adding any expenses to where we already are. I hope that answers your question.
Any other council comment or questions for Paul? Doesn't look to be any more council comment. I guess we're ready for the question. Karen, roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Cannamore?
Yes.
Councilmember Clark?
Yes.
Mayor Cassapit?
Yes.
Councilmember Warner?
Yes.
Councilmember Van Der Zanden?
Yes.
Councilmember Owens?
Yes.
Passes 7-0.
Okay, next up on the agenda is item 9E, CY20-14. It's a resolution for emergency management. This carried over from, again, last week or last month's meeting, and I'd entertain a motion to adopt.
Mr. Mayor, this is Taylor. I move to adopt resolution CY20-14, emergency management.
Warner, second.
Okay, it's moved by Member Taylor, seconded by Member Warner to approve CY20-14, a resolution dealing with emergency management. Any public comments? All right, yeah, time for. Any public comment on the resolution for emergency management? Doesn't appear to be any public comment. Is now to the table for council discussion and deliberation. Any council comment or deliberate? Go ahead, Susan. I saw you first.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to thank our fire chief for pointing out the exact Alaska statute that really helped to clarify my concerns on the be it resolved item one. So thanks, Travis.
Go ahead, Mike, you're next.
Yes, I just wanted to briefly, for those who in the audience may be wondering what this is and may not have heard much about it, this just sets the city up with a procedure to follow and policy to follow in the case of a major emergency that could hit the city that requires the city to stand up the incident management system and perhaps call in the case of a really big event, assistance from other government agencies, private sources of help, and so forth. It positions us to work on our emergency and with other emergency responders according to a standard method that is used nationwide, not only by government agencies, but even by private entities. Oil companies and the like. So it's a system that everybody knows how to use, and terminology is consistent and expectations are consistent. So it allows us to respond promptly to an emergency when it's been declared. We've had a lot of discussion on this, and that discussion actually has led to us making a few changes to the wording here and there on this thing. And I really appreciate the input from particularly Shelley and Susan on this item, as we've discussed it at quite a bit of length. So I hope everybody will be prepared to support it and set us on track for dealing with emergencies a little more smoothly than we had been able to in the past. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Is there any other council comment? Okay, Karen, I think we're ready for the question. Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Warner?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Cannamore?
Yes.
Councilmember Owens?
Yes.
Councilmember Clark?
Yes.
Councilmember van der Zanden?
Yes.
Mayor Cassapit?
Yes.
Motion passes 7-0. Oh, thank you. I will fix that.
Okay, now we're on to new business, item 10A. This is our FY20-17 NCO. This is introduction of our FY21 budget.
Mr. Mayor, I move to introduce the FY20-17 NCO FY21 budget.
I will second that. Mayor Cassapit seconds. So it's been moved by Vice Mayor Cannamore and seconded by Mayor Cassapit to introduce the FY21 budget, FY20-17 NCO. Is there any public comment? Go ahead, Aaron. I got you first.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can, Aaron. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Aaron Olson. Thank you for this chance to speak. Thank you, all of you, for your service to our communities, City Council, and thank you for including us in your budget, the Rookery being us. We understand that your current budget funds us at $10,000 less than we asked, I believe due to COVID. Our budget has also changed drastically due to COVID. We expect decreased revenue of at least $25,000 or $35,000, depending on this budget line item. We also are cutting our expenses by about $20,000. Making this change to our operational expense means that 20%, the amount the council may consider funding for our services, is now $19,579. Different from what you our current ask. Our board of directors asks the council to please consider funding our services at that $19,579. Making this change still puts our overall budget at a $5,000 deficit for the year. We're hopeful we can find other grants or donations to cover that, or else we're at risk of affecting the programs we offer for our families. We do hope to apply for the same big grant this year, but last year we didn't find out about that until September. We wonder what the council might think about if the Rookery were to refund a portion of this social service funding if we were to receive that grant. We feel we need this funding from the city to move forward with planning, but we also understand the concern about if we get that big grant. I want to finish up by echoing what Mike Taylor said a few months ago before COVID, which was that this line item in your budget is one of the only things the council is able to fund which addresses socioeconomic inequality. Additionally, the overall economic return on investment, this is me talking, not Mike, of quality early childhood programming is estimated at 13-1. Families and small businesses are experiencing serious financial troubles, and they need our services to be able to, if we are to expect a full economic recovery after this pandemic. For these reasons, we're hoping you'll reconsider changing the line item to $19,579. And then I wanted to make a final comment to Councilwoman Owens. A while back at a public meeting, she said she had a lot of questions about the budget we submitted for this fiscal year. And I just wanted to see if she might want to address those questions at this time. Otherwise, I'm open to any other questions. Thank you.
Okay, is there any questions for Aaron? From the council for clarification purposes. Mike, go ahead.
Yes, Aaron. Thanks for your comments. I think a month or two ago, I asked you about the assistance that you got from a small sort of ad hoc consulting group here in Gustavus. And I wondered if you'd be willing to put together for us, perhaps with their assistance, a list of the recommendations they have for your management processes and budget, and indicate what you're doing on each of those items. I think at the time I asked you before, you said you had one or two items you were still considering what to do, and I'd be interested really in knowing how you're applying the assistance that you got from that group. Thanks.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we have finalized all of the changes that we plan to make based on those recommendations, and I can certainly forward that on to the council. Thank you, Mike.
Any clarifying questions from the council for Aaron? Any remaining council? Okay, seeing none, next on the list, I have Leah.
Hello, can you hear me okay?
Yes, go ahead, Leah. We can hear you.
Okay. Thank you. I also echo Aaron's voice there in thanking the City Council and the community for listening and assisting the Gustavus Visitor Association. So we are also in the same respectively with the Rookery, we have 10,000 less is being offered to us from the City Council. So we were asking for 25,000 and you're offering 15,000 for, you know, to be able to recoup the businesses and the economies of Gustavus. So we are, I'm asking for the community and for the City Council to consider what the Gustavus Visitor Association is offering and is doing. Is we are working very much for the community and for the businesses to try and recoup the economic loss that we've encountered for not only this year but also for the next coming years of the situation, and trying to work together collectively to have a huge outreach. We've been working nonstop since this COVID situation to try and work with the Alaska Travel Industry Association, with websites, with mass media, to really put Gustavus in the limelight to try and attract tourism to the community, so that every bed and breakfast, every accommodation can try and fill the capacity and try and recoup financially, and every business to try and to be busy next year in the next couple of years. And we're also with Gustavus, we're very limited to the bed tax. You know, a huge amount of what we do as far as our economies for Gustavus is utilizing the bed tax for a variety of different budget line items. And so what the tourism brings to the community is the ability to utilize that bed tax money for the community and for the things that otherwise we have to put our hand in our own pocket to pay for. So if Gustavus Visitor Association can increase businesses and increase tourism, we can increase the economies, which is going to help Gustavus and the community greatly. So, but without that funding, we can't do anything. Our hands are tied. So with 15,000 is not enough. It's insufficient amounts for us to do anything. The 25,000 that we're asking for is our bottom line. So we urge the community to think about how we can work collectively together and to invest in the GVA so that we can recoup the losses that we've had and that we can do a good businesses for next season and for the next coming seasons. Thank you, and thank you for any comments.
Okay, council members, any clarifying questions for Leah? Go ahead, Susan.
I'm going to add in the moment of silence. Oh, yeah, go ahead. Yep.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to thank Leah and her new team that she's put together for submitting the 10-page marketing plan. I think you guys have really done a lot to pull the GVA together, and thanks for helping us, cluing us into what your plans are. So thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay, any other questions for Leah from the council? Okay, any other public comment on the budget, on the introduction of the budget? Any other public? Go ahead, Decker.
Once again, this is Zach Decker. I'd like to just comment on, follow up on a little bit with the GVA and Leah. I think that it is critical at this point for this council to consider supporting the businesses in the community. And now is a chance to really, we've got to start pushing for tourism to return and to increase the visitorship to the community. You know, between the bed tax and the sales tax, I think it comes out to about a 7%. And you know, there's a lot of booking agents out there that make a living on that type of between that and 10 to 15, make a living on that type of percentage that these businesses that are out there marketing. You know, we do trade shows year round, not year round, but during the winter months, we attend several trade shows and spend quite a bit of money doing that. And it's expensive to do. I would encourage, you know, it's a time that I think this council needs to get with GVA and support opportunities, plans, events, these things that bring visitors to town to support all these different businesses. It's been said that a dollar spent in these rural communities gets circulated through the community about 7 times. And I think that's critical. And, you know, it was said once that Mayor Giuliani, right after 9/11, about 2 weeks after, he went out and, you know, went on Saturday Night Live and said, "Hey, New York's open for business." And I think that it's something that this council need to consider, that to start saying through this COVID crisis that Gustavus is open for business. Gustavus is the gateway community to Glacier Bay, and that we need to have the support of the council and to GVA to promote and get tourists to coming here and supporting the community. Thank you.
Okay, any questions for Mr. Decker from the council? Okay, next I have Amy. Go ahead, Amy.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, go ahead, Amy.
Okay, I just wanted to say I concur. I think that it's really important to give the GVA the money that it needs to support us. I mean, this is the greater good in this community. We are suffering, many of us, our businesses aren't happening, of course, this year. And I think that the time is now for the council to consider the greater community rather than spending money on this and that. And So that's basically it. I just wanted to thank Leah and Lori for all the work that they put in for us this spring. I know there was a lot of work. And that's pretty much it. Thank you.
Okay, I have Jim Lindblom first, and then after Jim, I have... Jim.
There you go. Oh, sorry, I didn't realize I had to unmute myself. I find it somewhat alarming that that the income has gone from... or the net income, gone from $224,000 and some change in 2016 to $2,554 projected in 2021. And that's only because of a grant from the
CARES Act,
from the CARES Act of $255,000. So, I mean, that seems like an alarming trend that that's going down. And if you're projecting the sales tax income to be cut in half this year, what do you expect it to be next year? I mean, do you think it's just going to rebound automatically after having dropped so dramatically in 1 year?
I'm going to have Phoebe, I'm going a little bit out of order and all, but don't normally engage in discussions with the public, but I'm going to allow Phoebe to answer.
Hi, this is Phoebe, the treasurer here. When we were, the council had put together a budget for FY21 that was kind of following the increasing trends over the past few years of revenue until the COVID-19 pandemic hit. And the budget that's presented here for FY21 is very conservative on the revenue side of things. We've left the room income and sales retail tax income at winter levels for the entire fiscal year, assuming that basically hardly any lodges are open at all, and sales remain the same as they would in the winter months. And so, yes, it is, the bottom line is quite alarming. We are all facing that and realize that, and we're hoping that that things aren't as dire as this budget makes it out to be, but the council chose to take a very conservative viewpoint to make sure we could still offer services with the prospect of very reduced revenues.
Okay, Janie, I believe you wanted to speak. I'm going to unmute you. And you can go.
I just wanted to say that we should follow what Zach said. I had a travel agent tell me not too long ago that I asked her why I wasn't getting people from her, and she said, it's like Estevas and Glacier Bay has fallen off the face of the earth. So it's very important that our GVA gets out there and does the advertising and brings Glacier Bay back into the forefront, because we're competing strongly with Denali and we're losing. Thank you.
Yeah, we're in public comment, and you get one chance, and I if I break the rules for one, I break the rules for everybody. So, yeah, thank you. Any other public comment on introduction of our budget? Okay, doesn't look to be any more public comment on the budget. I will now put it on the table for council discussion and debate. Any council discussion? Go ahead, Susan.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. When the time is appropriate, I do have an amendment on the GVA item in the budget to offer.
Susan, this would be the time for amendments and council discussions on the motion. So if you've got an amendment, now's the time to...
Thank you, sir. Yes, I would like to encourage the council to see GVA as our partners for in recovery from this whole COVID fiscal crisis. So I would like to move that the Gustavus Visitors Association FY 2021 budget amount be returned to the initial $25,000 requested in order to put their submitted marketing plan into effect immediately.
This is Taylor. I'll second it.
There's been a motion to amend the budget to return the budget amount for GVA to $25,000. So that was moved by Member Warner, and it was seconded by Member Taylor. Any discussion? Go ahead, Mike.
Okay.
Mike, do you have a comment?
Yes, I do. I'm sorry, I was on mute there. I'm pleased to support this amendment. This is undoubtedly the most challenging situation for businesses operating here that anybody could imagine. No, in fact, it would have been hard for us ever to imagine we'd have this kind of impact on our visitor services and the ability of people to come and enjoy Gustavus and participate in the services that the businesses that operate here offer. The businesses are going to have an awfully hard time meeting the requirements of the mandates for such things as travel and all of the mitigation plans, and some may find it just not possible to do, and we hope that they'll make it through to the next year, and the city's going to have to do everything it can to help build the story of why visitors ought to come back here next year. Who may have had to skip their opportunity this year. So I think the GVA is going to be critical in telling Gustavus' story and attracting people back here when the pandemic, we hope, is behind us. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mike. Next, I have Shelley.
Hi, Mr. Mayor, you toned out for a moment there, but I think you were calling on me. Yes, I absolutely agree with Mike and Susan. I think GVA already took a cut from $32,000, and they've lost over $4,000 in membership fees. So I agree we have to kind of start preparing to reinvigorate Gustavus in the next fiscal year.
Well, I have a comment on that. That's all well and good to add 10,000 to GVA, but we got to figure where we're going to take 10,000. Any suggestions where we're going to balance that 10,000? Right now, we're counting on the Governor's CARES Act coming in with 250,000. And I don't know if that's actually going to happen. I think it's more likely that's going to be on a cost reimbursable basis. So we're going to have to actually have money in the budget. We just can't have a line in there of money that we think we're going to. Go ahead, Sue.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I appreciate what you're saying about what our situation is. But one suggestion that I would have for where to find that 10,000 would be to take that 10,000 out of our 24,000 allocated to be put into the repair and replacement AMLIP account. That account is in very good shape, and we have sprinkled throughout the FY21 budget various and sundry monies set aside for doing maintenance and repair work in 2021. So my suggestion would be that we take the 10,000 out of the repair and replacement AMLIP fund, 24,000, and instead direct it to GVA to help us recover. Thank you.
Okay, Mike, before you speak, I have to let Joe Vanderzan and Joe Clark and Brittany have their say. So, Mike, you've already had your say, so I need to let the other three council members have their say first. So if you can lower your hand, I'll call you after those other three talk. As well, I was alerted by Karen that we will need to modify this amendment so that the 10,000 comes out of the R&R account as Susan has. So any comment by Brittany, Joe V, or Joe?
This is Joe Clark. I have no comment.
Go ahead, Brittany.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. If it's okay, I would like to hear Phoebe's opinion or thoughts on Susan's suggestion of taking that money out of the AMLIP account.
Thanks, Brittany. The line item in the budget here, it's at the top of the screen, is a contribution to the AMLIP account. It follows a set schedule set forward by the state for setting up savings to help replace your major fixed assets over time, so you're not unprepared when the time comes to do that. we just established this a few years ago, and I think that in times like this, it would be totally acceptable to drop that by 10 grand. We can try to make it up in future years when things aren't so bleak, but I think that it, I think that would not be putting us in a any kind of a pinch. I can, particular AMLIP account, the repair and replacement account, has almost $290,000 in it right now, which is what it's supposed to have for our asset replacement. That's why there's a chunk of money in there. But 10 grand isn't going to hurt us at this point. So I think that would be just fine.
Thank you.
Okay, go ahead, Mike. Looks like Joe Vanderzan was okay, so go ahead.
Okay, yeah, I was just going to say the previous time that if Susan wants to sort of adjust her motion accordingly, I'm happy to agree to that as a new second.
Susan, if you want to change your motion, the second is saying that would be acceptable to him.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you, Councilman Taylor. I will amend my proposal as follows. I move that the Gustavus Association FY 2021 budget amount be returned to the initial $25,000 requested in order to put their submitted marketing plan into effect immediately. The $10,000 difference will be taken from the FY 2021 repair and replacement fund into the AMLIP account. I'm not sure I said that right. The $10,000 difference will be taken from the 2021 repair and replacement fund allocation.
DB says perfect.
And again, I second.
Any additional discussion on this amendment? Okay, Council, I just want to make sure, any last comments on this? Okay, the question is called. Karen, can I have a roll call vote on the amendment, please?
Mayor Cassapit.
No.
Councilmember Taylor.
Yes.
Vice Mayor Cannamore.
Yes.
Councilmember Clark.
Yes.
Councilmember Warner.
Yes.
Councilmember Vanderzanden.
No.
Councilmember Owens.
Yes.
Motion passes 5-2. We're back to the main motion as amended now.
Okay, as Karen has stated, we're back to the main motion as amended. The line item for GVA is returned to $25,000. $10,000 is removed from the repair and replacement fund. Any other comments or questions or any other discussion on the main motion as amended? Go ahead, Susan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have another motion to offer. This is in regards to the payroll line for the volunteer fire department. I can read the proposed amendment, and then when discussion comes up, I can say what that answer any questions about it. So until the impacts of COVID-19 on the city's financial picture can be more fully gauged, I move that the city council suspend all additional promotions, raises, and discretionary benefit increases in the FY 2021 budget. This would leave intact the 1.4% cost of living allowance increase and the new up to 5 days paid sick leave benefit.
I second that.
Okay, the amendment was proposed by, was moved by Councilman Warner, seconded by Joe Clark, Councilman Joe Clark, to suspend all additional promotions, raises, and discretionary benefit increases in the FY 2021 budget. This would leave intact the 1.4 cost of living allowance increase and the new up to 5 days paid sick leave benefit. Any discussion on the amendment from the council? Go ahead, Joe VanderZanden. You had your hand.
Yeah, I'm not sure I heard her correctly. Was that for the fire department or all of the city payroll?
I believe it was all the city payroll, but the effect of it would be the fire chief's raise.
Thank you.
Susan is maker of the motion. You can speak.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The reason for this is that we are in what the governor called last night fiscal catastrophe here. And now is not the time to increase the budget line for the fire chief by $5,500 more than last year. This is not in any way intended to be a reflection of the fire chief's performance. I have the greatest confidence in his abilities to lead us through this disaster, especially with all the work he's been doing on the public health side. However, the reality of the situation is that until Gustavus decides to stand up property taxes, Gustavus can't afford a $92,000 a year budget line for a fire chief. It's just a simple matter of when we look at what other towns are doing, they are funding their expenses from property taxes, such as Skagway, Yakutat, Haynesboro, Cordova, Sitka, Craig, Wrangell, Petersburg, Pelican, and Ketchikan. All of those towns have property taxes, and that's how they're paying for their budget lines. And Gustavus just can't compete with towns that do have property taxes unless we go in that direction. What we can do is offer meaningful, well-paid, good benefits, jobs, especially as we get through this financial crisis period. So I'm hoping that our fire chief can bear with us until we can get out of the woods here, and that he can find satisfaction in the things that Gustavus City Employment can offer, such as what Rand Corporation in 2015 survey said was what people said constituted meaningful work, i.e. the satisfaction of work well done, a feeling of doing useful work, a sense of personal accomplishment, the opportunity to make positive impact on your community, opportunities to use your talents fully, and goals to aspire to. That's from the Rand Corporation survey of 2015. So I think that this is not the time to adjust this line of our payroll by $5,500. And hopefully our fire chief can continue to lead us with as much courage and confidence as he's shown to date.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm not going to be supporting this amendment. I think it at this time we're seeing the value of our fire chief and the kind of skills that he's brought to us, and we've seen that in call after call with lives saved and property saved. When we hired the fire chief back when I was mayor, we set the salary in the reasonable range for his skill levels at that time, comparing to other to the fire chief's pays in other similar cities. And he has grown a lot in the job. He's made tremendous improvements in the fire department. We haven't had anything other than a cost of living raise to date, and I believe he's well worth the increase that is planned in this budget. We are able to balance our budget with this cost in place, with this cost line, and I support keeping it there. Thank you.
Joe Clark, go ahead.
Yes, I think Travis is doing an excellent job, but I will be supporting this amendment. That being said, I'll never cast a vote for a property tax in Gustavus. Thank you.
Go ahead, Joe Vanderzanden.
Yeah, I'm still not clear on this. Does this include COLA for all employees and the extra sick leave and holiday gifts and the stipend for the fire hall? It needs to be cleared up some.
I'm going to ask Phoebe to cover that. Hold on a minute. I'll mute myself for Phoebe.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. What this proposed amendment would do would it would leave the COLA intact. So all of the other hourly wage under the hourly wage column, all of those values would stay the same and the wage total would stay the same for all the other positions. The fire chief position, if he was not given a raise and is just given COLA, the difference between the raise and the COLA only salary is $3,644. That would be the savings if he's not given a raise. This does not, the payroll summary does not include the stipend or holiday gift or any of those types of things. Those are all in line items in the budget. This is simply what these column headers are, all the actual wages, the payroll taxes, health insurance, and retirement. There was one more question. I just had it. I lost it. Oh, and the sick leave. The paid time off and sick leave is not included anywhere in the budget. Those items are, every department has a cap on how much can be spent in wages, whether those are hours worked or hours taken as paid time off or sick leave. And so those parts show up in the under the actual columns in the five-year comparison, but when you're budgeting for it, it's all just wages paid, whether the employee's at work or not. That budget is the cap for that department for the year.
Thanks, Phoebe.
Okay, on this amendment, I have Brittany haven't spoken yet on this amendment, and I also have Shelley that hasn't spoken on this amendment, and I also see Tom has his hand up. So first, I wanted to go to Brittany and Shelley to see if they had anything to add on this amendment, and then I'll go to go ahead, Shelley.
Susan and Mike said, I think Travis has been doing an amazing job, you know, with this whole COVID-19 thing. But I'm really concerned about increasing salary at this time. And at earlier meetings, we talked about possibly waiting until October to see what our fiscal circumstances are then. I think I would like to ride this out for a little while until we have a better idea of how long our catastrophic fiscal catastrophe is going to last.
Brittany, did you have anything to?
Nothing that hasn't already been said. Thank you.
Okay, Tom, you had something? Go ahead.
Thank you, Mayor, for the opportunity to comment on this. Travis is, in my opinion, one of the most competent and hardworking employees that I've worked with. He came on in 2016. He hasn't received a pay increase that entire time, hasn't asked for one. 1.5% increase of his base pay from 2016 is $5,500. This is an individual that continues to gain experience and training and is going to be sought after by other communities. The cost of retraining somebody in his position is going to far exceed $5,500. We talk about valuing our employees and recognizing the hard work that they do. I'm very well aware of our financial situation this fiscal year. $5,500, I think, is a reasonable amount for an increase given the time he's been here and what he's accomplished. I ask the council to consider this increase in light of our economic situation and in recognition not only for all that he's accomplished during his time, but for all that he will accomplish as our fire chief. Thank you.
Well, I haven't spoken on this amendment yet, and so now I am. First of all, we just added $10,000 in this budget, and we took the balance out of repair and replacement, something that we should be keeping our accounts. To me, it's we're going to have to pay that $10,000 back to the repair and replacement contract at some point in time, account at some point in time. And a free lunch, that $10,000 got to be paid back somehow. This raise for Travis was already in the budget. We already found the money for it. It was already in it. We didn't have to take any money from anywhere to put it in the budget. Just to take it away at this point just doesn't seem right to me. We added $10,000 just now before this, and we can't seem to keep, the difference is only about $3,600 if I understood Phoebe right. It just doesn't seem. Any other council comments? Okay, hearing no other council comment, I'm calling for the question on the amendment. The amendment would be to as stated by Susan Warner earlier. I'm not going to reread it, but the effect of it is basically taking away the raise that we had programmed for fire chief. So Karen, roll call vote, please.
Vice Mayor Cannamore?
No.
Councilmember Taylor?
No.
Mayor Cassapit?
No.
Councilmember Clark?
Yes.
Councilmember Warner?
Yes.
Councilmember Van der Zanden?
No.
Councilmember Owens?
Yes.
Motion fails. 3 in favor, 4 not. Now we're back to the main motion as amended.
Okay, now we have the main motion as amended before us. Any other council comment? Any other council amendments? Okay, the main motion is to introduce the FY21 budget. Have any other council comments on the main motion of introduction of the FY20? Okay, Karen, roll call vote, please.
Mayor Cassapit?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Cannamore?
Yes.
Yes. Councilmember Clark?
Yes.
Councilmember Warner?
Yes.
Councilmember Van der Zanden?
Yes.
Councilmember Owens?
Yes.
All right, motion passes 7-0.
Okay, next on the agenda is item 10B. It's a resolution CY 20-15, update, it's updating the benefits, procedures, and policies for eligible regular employees. May I have a motion to put this on the table, please?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I move to adopt CY20-15 resolution updating benefits PP for eligible regular employees.
I second that.
It's been moved moved by Member Clark, seconded by Vice Mayor Cannamore to approve resolution CY20-15. Updating the benefits, policies, and procedures for eligible regular position employees. Any public comment? Doesn't look to be any public comment. I just wanted to give a brief introduction of what this is all about. This allows the mayor to extend hours of paid time off before beyond the 120 hours limit into the next fiscal year under extenuating circumstances. This came up this year because of the COVID crisis. Fire chief wasn't able to take some planned leave because of the COVID crisis. And now at the end of the fiscal year, he's gonna end up losing a bunch of time off. So this was an attempt to try to resolve that for extenuating circumstances where the mayor could allow PTO above the 120 hour limit to be carried over. So is there any council comment on this?
Mr. Mayor, is this just a one-time deal or will it open up the door to do this always?
Thanks for the question, Mr. Clark. The way this is written, it would be for any mayor in the future for an if there was an extenuating circumstance where an employee wanted to carry over his 120 hours, this would allow the mayor to allow that.
Just to be clear, he's already earned the 120 hours. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah, he's already earned his time off. It's just a matter of he's not allowed to carry it over until the next year.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Mike. I saw your hand up, and I was answering Mr. Clark, and I'm sorry, but
yes. I thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to support this. We have a limit on carryover to keep. So we don't have a situation where employees don't take their time off when they really need to. We want employees to get a break away from work and be able to have a vacation and so forth. And also, but we have a limit also to prevent a huge amount of carryover from building up that might have a fiscal impact in the future when the employee leaves and we would have to pay them for that unused paid time off. This provision provides for those situations where for some unexpected reason an employee can't take the time off that they had scheduled and gives them a chance still to use it in the next year. It won't have any fiscal impact of significance, I don't think, ever. So I'm fully in support of it. Thank you.
Okay, any other council comments? Seeing none, Karen, roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Mayor Cassapit?
Yes.
Councilmember Clark?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Cannamore?
Yes.
Yes. Councilmember Warner?
Yes.
Councilmember Owens?
Yes.
Councilmember Van der Zanden?
Yes.
Motion passes 7-0.
Okay, next is item to amend the Gustavus PFAS Action Coalition Endowment Fund grant budget.
Point of order, Mr. Mayor, I think you may have skipped an item. Am I correct?
I'm sorry, Mike, are you speaking about CY 2016? Because that's I have as item 10D on my agenda, and that's what Karen said.
Okay, maybe I'm not looking at the right, maybe my version is not the same order. Thanks, sorry.
So I need a motion to amend the Gustavus PFAS Action Coalition Endowment Fund grant budget. On the shared screen from Karen is the request to amend the PFAS Coalition Endowment Fund.
Mr. Mayor, this is Shelley Owens. I move to amend the Gustavus PFAS Action Coalition Endowment Fund grant budget. I don't know, do I need to give more additional detail pursuant to their grant request for grant modification of their current endowment fund grant?
Seconded by Warner.
Okay, it's been moved by Member Owens and seconded by Member Warner to amend the Gustavus PFAS Action Coalition Endowment Fund grant request budget. As it appears, actually it's on your screen now. It basically reprograms web presence, travel, and test. Any council comment on the request to amend the Gustavus PFAS Action Coalition? Okay, doesn't look like we have any additional council comment. I guess I'll call for the question. Karen, roll call, please.
Councilmember Clark?
Yes.
Councilmember Warner?
Yes.
Councilmember Owens?
Yes.
Mayor Cassapit?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Cannamore?
Yes.
Councilmember Van der Zanden?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Motion passes 7-0.
Okay, next on the agenda is CY-16, a resolution regarding access to marine facility. I will entertain a motion to put this on the table, please.
Mr. Mayor, I move to adopt resolution CY-20-16, a resolution by the City of Gustavus regarding access to marine facilities. Thank you.
Councilmember Owens, second.
Okay, CY-20-16 has been moved to adopt by Member Taylor, a second by Member Owen. At this time, I would like to invite public comment. Raise your hand and I will recognize you and please provide your public comments. Thank you.
If you can't see us, how do we raise our hand?
That's good enough. Jim Kern.
Please tell them about the participant button so everybody knows. He did. Sorry, I'm multitasking over here.
I just pushed *6 to unmute me, so I don't know if I have to do anything else.
Jim Kearns, go ahead.
Okay, there you should be able to hear me now. Hello.
Yeah, we hear you loud and clear.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much. I just wanted to say that I fully support protecting our Gustavus citizens, which this resolution is all about. However, I feel that effective dates that extend beyond 53 days are really not very reasonable and don't support or protect the tourism-driven economy. So if you approve the effective date of this resolution, which is on the resolution now, October 1, 2020, that would be 142 days in the future, which is a little over 4.5 months, and that's literally a quarter of a year. So if you do that, then what it says to me is that fear is kind of driving some of our community and maybe even some of you, I don't know. But to not give our businesses a reasonable possibility to have some kind of a season, that's not reasonable. The governor even said, don't just say we are too afraid to open. He said, let's use some metrics. And the state is doing that, and I think we need to do the same thing. Whereas if you set the resolution to remain in effect until July 1, 2020, which is just the same as that you did for CY-20-13 amended, which is a 50-day restriction, and I wasn't too excited about that, but I mean, we're living with it, but a 50-day restriction, our business community could have a reasonable expectation of making a go of it within the parameters of an effective mitigation plan. And the contention that our city government doesn't like maybe some of the charter businesses would really disappear because you'd show your support for them. However, and still under complete protection, if necessary, the June 8th City Council General Meeting would be able to reevaluate the situation and if needed, extend the protections for 53 more days until August 1, thereby still leaving some possibility of a little business income for some of the businesses. Then in the July 13 meeting, you could extend that protection to September 1 if necessary, and so on. So I've written to each one of you in advance. So I'm pretty sure you understand what I'm saying, and hopefully you got the idea of what I'm asking. So as a business owner and a resident, I think by setting effective dates in smaller increments, you're showing that we're working to protect everyone in the city of Gustavus physically and socially and economically, because, you know, we're all in this together, and together, and that the key word is together, we can get through it. And I add one little thing to it, and that says, if nothing else, the supports and the protections that you vote for when you vote on this bring hope. And first off, of course, they'll bring hope that we don't get sick. That's why we're protecting. Also, a hope that a portion of our businesses and our economy will survive to provide for physical needs and the money that the city and these individuals need. So that's another hope that your vote would bring. And a hope that we can all work together to solve the problem, because that's the key, is that we work together. We just go one-sided, that won't work. So in closing, I'd just like to quote Jeffrey R. Holland, who recently said, indeed, if we finally lose hope, we lose our last sustaining possession. So I would hope that you would see fit to make the effective dates in smaller increments. And in this case, go to July 1, like you're doing with CY20-13 amended, and then go on from there. Just keep moving it on and evaluating it at every meeting so that we can maintain the safety, but also so that we can support and maintain the protection for the businesses as well. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Jim. Any questions from the council for Jim? Doesn't appear to be so. Any questions? Next one on my list. Hey, Jim, if you could send a copy of that letter to Karen, that would be great.
Oh, the letter that I sent, or the email I sent, I just sent an email to everybody. So what's the email address? Just Karen.Platt?
You can send it to clerk.gustavus-ak.gov.
Okay. All right, I'll do that. I probably won't get to it tomorrow because I'm on the phone today.
Okay, thank you, Jim. Next on the list, I have Bree. Go ahead, Bree.
Yeah, hey, Kel. This is actually Jake Olson on Bree's laptop. Can you hear me all right?
Okay, yeah, no problem, Jake. Go ahead.
Perfect. Thanks. Hey, just before, or maybe it was even while this meeting had started, the governor announced a mandate change that goes into effect tomorrow that supersedes state mandate 12, which is referenced in this document. And that's what gives the city some of the rights to implement these city specifics. I know it's, you know, popping this on you right now doesn't give time to really look at that. So I don't know if, you know, I guess I'd suggest maybe this gets shelved until you can reconcile the differences. But one thing it does say is that, at least in my initial reading, was that for cities that are on the road system, basically there would not be limitations for travel in, and that includes cities that are connected by the Alaska Marine Highway. And then they said cities that aren't on the road system do have pretty strict limits, you know, matching some of the other city resolutions. What I don't know is Gustavus considered to be on the road system because we get ferry service, or is that not considered the case until the ferry resumes? Either way, it seems like there could be a change coming pretty quickly that might conflict with this resolution. So just something for you guys to consider. Thanks.
Thank you, Jake, and I'm sure our capable staff will be on that right away tomorrow. Okay, next I have Leah. Go ahead.
Hi, mine is more of an ask, I suppose, is that as you make resolutions, if resolutions could be made aloud or read aloud, that would be great. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, just so you know, I've got Jeff Crane with me, and he would like to make a comment when it's appropriate.
Joe, go, if it's a member of the public, just he can go ahead and speak, I guess. It's that public comment, right?
Hi, this is Jeff Crane. I'm just kind of concerned with the direction that we've gotten in the declaration of a national city or state emergency. The Bill of Rights still applies. It requires government to justify any restriction as truly necessary and ensures that there are not other ways to address the government's interest that are less burdensome on our rights. And I just say that as a reminder. There are certain rights that we've been without that are guaranteed under the Constitution. And I want everybody to remember that and make decisions accordingly to promote those rights. That's my comment.
Mike, I see your hand up. Yeah. We're on public comment. Yeah. Do you have a question for one?
I had a question. I was hoping to ask a question of Jake Olson. We didn't get a chance to do that. May I do so?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead and ask that question of Jake.
Okay. Jake, did the governor make any change to Mandate 10? Mandate 10 is the one that requires the quarantine for visitors coming from outside of the state. Mandate 12 is the one under which Gustavus has had its own quarantine for people, even in-state travelers. I've been wondering if both of those would go away, which would then, of course, make major provisions of this moot. Are you aware of whether there was any change to Mandate 10? Thanks.
Mike, I don't believe there is any change to Mandate 10. It only referenced Mandate 12. And sorry, I haven't been able to read all the details because I've been listening to this meeting at the same time I'm reading it. But it's a pretty short mandate, and I do not see anything about international or interstate travel, only intrastate travel.
Thanks, that's very helpful.
Shelley, I see your hand up. Do you have a question for one of the previous testifiers? Shelley, did you have a question for one of the previous testifiers?
I'm,
Yes, Mr. Mayor, sorry. Got hung up on the phone. So this is a question for Jake. With regard to the change in Health Mandate 12, was there any reference to the small community emergency travel order?
Yes, there was, and I think it even said it superseded Mandate 12 Attachment B, and I believe that.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, somehow I got off, and some of the previous testifiers, I don't know if council members had any questions for those folks. So is there any questions from council members for clarification from any previous testifier up till now? Susan, go ahead, and I see your hand up.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to get back to Leah to tell her and anyone else who's on the phone, if you want to see the full printout of any resolution that we're discussing, you can just go download the packet from the Gustavus-AK.gov website for meetings. And the packet is there. And this resolution, CY20-16, would be page 146 and 147 of that packet. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Decker, I have you next. Go ahead.
All right. primarily, we operate out of Glacier Bay National Park as a concessioner. Out there, we don't use the Gustavus dock, but effectively what this amendment or this resolution does is under contracts for the Park Service or the Forest Service, those type of entities, we are required to obey local mandates and whatnot. So this resolution would effectively also close down the Glacier Bay dock to any concession operator, and would therefore any day boat activity, anything like that, charter operators, small ship tour operators, all of those things would effectively cease at park operations because we have to obey and follow city mandates and ordinances. So you, through this, if leaving it till October, you shut down everything, every dock except for local residents, subsistence fishing. Also, what this does is that I don't know where the governor has classified critical infrastructure and as commercial fishing and fishing, sport fishing is involved in that to limit those people engaging in that activity for till they quarantine for 14 days. I think that there may be some conflict there in this activity. So, you know, I would, the whole thing of it is absurd to me. We feel that we do everything we can to avoid operating within the city. And with this, literally, I would, we'll just charter Ward Air, have our clients fly over that way and anchor outside the city limits and go about our activities without being doing anything within the city of Gustavus. We have that luxury where some of the lodge folks don't. That's all I have to say for this time.
Okay, any questions from the council for Mr. Decker? Okay, next is Forrest Braden. Go ahead.
Hi, can I do a radio check here? Am I on?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay, good. Thank you. Thanks for this opportunity. We've kind of been monitoring what the city's been doing, and I'm a business owner in Gustavus. So we used to live there year round for 9 years, and I've been in operation since 1997, long time. And I feel like I'm a part of the community. I spend half my year up there, and my heart's there. And this is the toughest thing about what's going on here for me is there's a lot of desire on our part to try to keep the community safe, to comply with healthcare mitigation plans, and thinking through how we can do this in a way that keeps the economy going, keeps us viable for another year, and yet not influence or affect anybody in the small community. The disappointment has come at just as I've listened from the second this meeting started, and most of it had nothing to do with this, but unless I'm interpreting things wrong, I see just a forecasting of the COVID situation all the way through October 1st, and some of the comments I've heard, some of the ways the budgets has been written, you just have, I mean, it's pretty obvious that everybody's planning on not having Gustavus open up, and you're letter to the business owners kind of said as much. And I just think that's disingenuous with the way this whole thing has evolved so quick. And, you know, the state has a lot of resources available to it. They've got, health teams, a lot of people that are professionals that are looking at what is, reasonable to do. And they're balancing the economy with the health of Alaska residents. And I don't think that the Gustavus City Council or certain people are complying with that mentality. It's just really, really rough to listen to this. And what I'd hope is that from this comment that there's not animosity, but that there's some sense of cooperation. I can't give you COVID. The only way you can get it is if you don't practice good hygiene yourself. And I think that we're, as a nation and as a state, we're coming to an awareness that this thing wasn't what we thought it was, and there's ways to keep people safe. So I hope that you take that into account as you proceed forward, and I think that we can work together to make this work for everybody. And that's my comment. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Forrest. Is there any questions for clarification for? For us from the council. Go ahead, Mike. You have a question for Mr. Raiden?
Yes, I do. Forrest, are you aware that it's the governor's mandate that says there is a requirement for 14-day quarantine of people flying into the state? This resolution, I don't know if you're aware, it does not set that mandate. All it does is remind people that the mandate exists, and that mandate, as set by the governor, says that people who are subject to a 14-day quarantine do not go about in public places where they could potentially spread the disease before they even know they have it. So I just wondered if you're aware that that's not what this resolution does. It only acknowledges that is in effect in the governor's mandate. It also acknowledges the city's mandate, which is allowed under mandate 12. The governor's mandate, first one, is mandate 10. The mandate 12 allows the city to do to set rules that are tighter for intrastate travel. Now, if 12 goes away, 10 still exists. So was that clear to you? Sorry. Thank you.
Yeah, so we were confused about section 4, how to exactly read that. First of all, I'm on the Sportfish COVID response team that helped develop some of the mandates, like fishing charters and lodges, helped write up some of the templates. And I speak with the state on a weekly basis And so I understand what the mandates do and what they're meant for. I also know that there was some autonomy given to small towns to make some decisions on their own. It's possible that if the ferry system qualifies Gustavus as on the road system, that these things automatically go away. And I'm speaking more to what I feel are motives, and maybe it's just a lack of communication between us, but just reading the clues that we've heard, some of the social media feelings and some of the direction that we've been getting, it's felt like to us that there was intention, if at all possible, to keep a quarantine in place until October 1st, although this doesn't state that. But I'm hearing tonight a little bit that you're acknowledging that if the state lifts its quarantine, that you might also likewise lift your quarantine. And I hope that would apply to the resolution you already made, and that if they lift it for mid-June, that you would allow people to come in before July 1st, because July 1st was actually, you know, a choice on your part that we see, or I see, as somewhat random, just aligning yourself with what the park was doing, which was based on what the cruise ships were doing. But I appreciate that clarification. I do think we understand what these quarantines are and what they're meant to do. So I hope that I've miscalculated your intentions, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, was that Mike Halbert that I saw up there? Go ahead.
You got me now?
I hear you loud and clear.
Okay, this is Mike Halbert. First of all, thank you for the opportunity to talk here. As well, I'm a business owner here in town and concerned particularly with the resolution with the duration of the date going to October 1st. It seems like you're not really leaving us with a chance to participate in what we normally do as a business. Obviously that's affected differently with all this. In my own case, I've pushed all my clients into August. I've canceled June and July, hoping that something can happen. I don't know what that reality is. It doesn't seem like any of us do. And I think Jim Kern spoke eloquently on that, so I'll probably leave that where it is. The thing that I'm concerned about is it seems like there's a disconnect with the city and the business owners in what's going on. Earlier in this meeting, a lot was said about the importance of funding extra money to the GVA because it was economically crucial for promoting the tourism business. And you guys sought to add money to it as Leah had asked for, and that's fine, but it seems like in the same mouthful, you're also cutting any chance for most of our businesses to even operate with this resolution. If you were to change even the dates, even to July 1st, it leaves a hope. But in my mind, if I sent this to my clients, they'd say, well, what's the point of even attempting to come up? So anyhow, I guess I'd like to see the city council really show that they're concerned about our businesses. If they're willing to give a city entity money, what can you do to help us out? Because we've all got our backs against the wall in this thing. And if we get separated out from everybody else, we don't stand a chance. So that's what I have to say.
Shelley, I see your hand up. I see your hand up. Do you have a question for the testifier?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I actually have a clarification. if I can proceed. The resolution under Section 6 actually says it will remain in effect until October 1st, 2020, unless earlier rescinded. That rescission can happen at any time. It can happen at a general meeting, which is the second Monday of the month, or it can happen by special meeting of the council. So I'm concerned that people feel that this is a hard and fast date, which it isn't. It's giving a fixed date, which was recommended to me actually by a member of the Marine Facilities Advisory Committee. And it's not, and it says specifically unless it's earlier rescinded.
Okay, Karen has told me that we need to do the 10 o'clock thing. However, I don't think I have unanimous consent for continuing past 10. I know I don't.
Mr. Mayor, does it require unanimous consent? I've never known it actually to do so.
According to Karen, I can either do it by unanimous consent or by a roll call vote.
I'd suggest a roll call vote.
Karen said that somebody needs to make a motion to suspend the rules to go past.
Mr. Mayor, I make a motion to suspend the rules to go past 10. Thank
you. Seconded by Warner.
And move to go past 10 to continue the meeting, and it's been moved by member Joe Clark, seconded by member Susan Warner. There's no really not much to discuss, so. Can we do a roll call vote?
Councilmember van der Zanden.
Yes.
Councilmember Owens.
I'm sorry, I'm trying to read the health mandate 18. We're voting on suspending the rules and continuing?
Yes.
No.
Councilmember Warner?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Cannamore.
Yes.
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor.
Yes.
Mayor Cassapit.
No.
Councilmember Clark.
Yes.
Okay, so we got 1, 2. Motion passes 5 in favor. And 2 not in favor. So we will go past 10 o'clock.
Okay, council members, we are still in public testimony. Shelley, you have your hand up. Do you have a question for a previous testifier?
Not at present.
Okay, Travis, you're next. Go ahead.
Thank you. I've breezed through in this time through health, the new health mandate. I'm going to suggest that the council postpone this or table this. I think that we should meet in a special work session and work through all of our resolutions and come up to a better standard and meet all of the health mandates. This does get rid of some of our stuff that we are doing currently. And I think it would just be better to have that quick work session and make a resolution that supersedes all of our resolutions that is clear and concise and one that everybody can understand. This supersedes all of Mandate 12 and part of 16, part of the reopen attachment M. So this does kind of get rid of some of the small town stuff that we might have. So I think it would be better for us before we make this thing happen that we go and look at what this change is before we go back to redo it again. So my suggestion is hold off on this. Let's have a work session and get back on track with all of our stuff and get back with the state. That's it.
Mr. Mayor?
Go ahead, Sue.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, I'm prepared to make a motion to postpone to a special meeting.
Susan, I still have two members of the public who wish to comment on this before it's on our table for deliberation and possible motion or amendment. So I finish public comment. Go ahead, Curtis Lindblom.
Well, perhaps I might be wasting some time because I was going to second what Travis said, that perhaps it would make more sense to postpone this. But I guess I'll make my comment in case that doesn't happen. Mandate 12 was completely superseded by this new mandate, which does get rid of some of the autonomy of small communities. But there's some confusing things in this section 4 where it says each person's mandated 14-day period of quarantine. If that's referring to mandate 10, which goes until May 19th, I think that that's in line with what the state is asking. But given this goes till October 1 and does not reference mandate 10 anywhere in the resolution, I think it's unclear as to which 14-day period of quarantine it's referring to. Because if it's referring to a Gustavus quarantine, that may very well not be allowed at this point, given Mandate 18, which just came out. Also, as a business owner, it's very difficult to plan on uncertainty. A statement like, unless earlier rescinded, is very difficult for a business to plan on. We need a deadline, a hard date, and that's what the state is offering, is deadlines, is hard dates that we can plan on. And so our comment, my comment, representing our business, would be that Gustavus stay consistent with what the state is mandating. As Forrest commented, they have access to many health professionals, experts, scientists, people who have access to information both about keeping the public safe and keeping our economy healthy. And we're in favor of doing that. We'd also like to express our desire to, implement our COVID-19 mitigation plan. And we feel, we strongly believe that we can both protect our economy and protect the health of Gustavus, and that that should be the overarching goal of the city council, to protect both our health and our economy. And so far, the vibe we've been getting is that the economy doesn't seem to be much of a priority from some. You know, probably the biggest example being that in the budget, there is only $4,500 being planned for the bed tax, which essentially means the city is planning on no lodges being open. So that's an area of concern for us, and that's my comment. Thank you.
Kelly, I see your hand up. Do you have a clarifying question for the testifier?
I do. I may have misunderstood you, but I thought you said that in the resolution there was no reference to Health Mandate 10. Is that correct?
Yes, and I mean specifically when it says in Section 4, each person's mandated 14-day quarantine. So I do recognize that above it references, you know, the state mandates, but when it comes to Section 4 in the actual application of the resolution, that people must complete their mandated 14-day period of quarantine. So I'm asking for clarification of which 14-day quarantine, the state's according to Mandate 10 or Gustavus's according to the resolution that says till July 1.
Leah, I see you have your hand up. Do you have a...
Guess I don't have my hand up. I'm screwed, huh?
Shall I speak?
Put your hand up, little hand icon there.
Okay, I have two phones from the public that are unmuted. I'm not sure, did you guys want to speak? There's a couple phones that are going.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah,
Cal, can you hear me?
Let me get Leah first, and then I'll try to get to these other phones that I can't quite identify. So, Leah, could you go real quick?
Yes, this is Leah. Just real quick, and I just wanted to make sure for the record that I'm speaking on behalf of myself as Leah, not on behalf of the Gustavus Business Association or Glacier Bay Sea Kayaks. So this is my own personal feeling and personal comment. And I just wanted to echo some of the comments that have come before there and say that if the state mandates lift the 14-day quarantine, and if it is safe and responsible to open up Gustavus, given the resources that we have available and the medical recommendations that we have, if it's safe and deemed a responsible position to take, that I see that opening up the businesses to operations should be accepted. That's my comment.
Okay, now I have a phone that's 907-957-4898. Go ahead, you're on.
Hey, Cal, this is Sean Mattson calling. Hey, we're listening in and I appreciate all the comments. We're under extra quarantine because my wife had to go over to Juneau recently and for some foot, and she's got to go back and get some steroid shots, basically, so she can actually walk. And so I would have to go under quarantine again, but I was trying, I mean, she's come and go. I mean, just, you know, but we've been here all the time, so I don't understand why that would put us at risk when Jim hasn't had a case in almost a month now. Or the city of Gustavus. I mean, I respect everybody's decision, but you've got no way I'm enforcing it. And I don't really care about if it's getting shamed or not. So, just speaking my piece. I'm just trying to figure out why there's interstate travel allowed, but in the smaller villages, you can't travel without a 14-day quarantine for medical, especially.
Okay, thank you, Sean. Is there any other public comment?
Yeah, there's one more. This is Jim Kearns. Can I add clarification to mine since things have changed a little bit since I talked?
Go ahead, Jim.
Okay, I've read the mandate. Mandate 18, effective tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. Supersedes, like Travis said, Mandate 12, Attachment B, Mandate 16, Attachment M. It also says that groups traveling are subject to Mandate 16, Attachment N, social distancing. And it says that intrastate, inside the state of Alaska, travel between communities located on the road system and the marine highway system is permitted. And it says any community served by the Alaska Marine Highway is defined as on the road system. And we sure are served by the Marine Highway, even though the dock isn't done, it's definitely Marine Highway. So what this mandate does is it makes resolution CY20-16 and CY20-13 ineffective as of 8 a.m. tomorrow morning for anyone from in-state Alaska. However, it still leaves mandate 10 in place, so nobody from out of state can come into Gustavus or Juneau or Anchorage or anywhere, but they can't come to Gustavus without a 14-day quarantine unless they did it, the quarantine in another Alaska community already. So I'd recommend, or I'd ask that you table this whole resolution. You know, you can go to July 1 if you want, but if you table the whole resolution, then by May 19th, you might be able to have some more clarity on the interstate travel as well. And anyway, so I still encourage you all to amend CY2016 if you do, to be effective until July 1, unless there's a change in the mandates by the city or by the state. And then I want to be safe. So if we had to go to July 1 to be even more safe, then I'm okay with that too. But I'd say at least amend it. If you're going to go with it, amend it to be effective until July 1 only. And then people from in-state can come here anyway. So that's awesome. That'd be awesome. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, any other public comment? Any other public comment going once? Okay, looks like we don't have any more public comment. Now it is to the table for council discussion and deliberation. I see Joe has his hand up, and I see Shelley. Okay, Joe, you go first.
For the purposes of this resolution, first of all, I would like to say that I am in a high-risk category. I don't want to get sick, and I don't want anyone else to get sick. That being said, our local Gustavus businesses are in a high-risk category, too. There are windows of time and opportunity that, when allowed to pass, can have grave and long-term consequences. We are in such a time. This past Friday, the 8th, I attended a teleconference meeting with 10 prominent Gustavus businesses in conference. Our local businesses are desperately hoping for a July 1st lifting of travel bans and quarantine restraints. Several business owners have contacted me, and some have expressed genuine desperation because their livelihoods and welfare of their families hang in the balance. I ask the council to step into their shoes for a moment and consider their plight. Many expressed a need to know by at least the 20th of this month if our city is going to lift or modify these constraints by July the 1st. If on the 19th of this month or earlier date, our governor lifts constraints, our businesses need to move forward immediately. Business owners have said that their scheduled employees required to open their businesses need to know ahead of time whether or not to make the commitment to travel to Gustavus, or they will be forced to look for alternative work. Merely opening a seasonal business in Gustavus requires a considerable investment amounting to more thousands that will be lost and unrecoverable if the business is not allowed to move forward. Many of our local businesses have already canceled reservations and have been forced to return deposits amounting to thousands of dollars. Some may never recover and will be forced to go out of business completely. It might be difficult for those of us who have a guaranteed income or government job to feel the real desperation and pain of those whose lives depend on freedom of travel and association. I am asking you to try. One mantra I keep hearing is to drop our local restraints by July 1st and allow the state of Alaska guidelines and follow the Alaska guidelines. I've been asked to encourage Gustavus City Council to notify our local businesses by May 20th if our local COVID restraints will be lifted by July 1st. They really do deserve a heads up, or the damage will be even greater than it already is. That being said, I move to amend CY20-16, Section 6, by striking October 1, 2020, and replacing with July 1, 2020, and adding after the last sentence of Section 6 the words, "and that the City Council will reevaluate effective dates at each monthly general meeting. Any extension date will not go beyond the following month." Thank you very much. Can I get a second?
Yeah, I second that. This is Joe Van Der Zanden.
Okay, I just want to make sure we have a motion to amend CY20 by changing October 2020 to July 1st, 2020, and then adding, "and that the City Council will reevaluate effective dates at each monthly general meeting. Any extension date will not go beyond the following month." That was moved by Member Joe Clark, and it was seconded by Member Joe Van Der Zanden. Is that?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you. So now we have an amendment on the table, discussion on the amendment. I see Shelley. Go ahead, Shelley.
Oh, Mr. Mayor, actually, my hand was up when I was going to propose a motion that would eliminate references to the Alaska Small Community Order and Health Mandate 12. And I'm sorry, I can bring that up after we deal with this motion.
Go ahead, Mike, go ahead.
Yes, I have, as one of the backers of this resolution, I don't really object to changing the date that much. But I should explain that the reason that we set the October date was that the effective end of this would be driven by other changes, either in the governor's mandates or the city's earlier resolution that set the requirement for local quarantine. This resolution effectively was only good as long as those were in effect. And by setting it for October, we didn't have to keep adjusting it if those other things got extended. I have not actually expected that this would go to October anyway. But I'm okay with changing this date, but I also would support a postponement that I believe Susan is going to propose, because there has been so much change in the last week as we've been watching this, and then with a change tonight, which was kind of what we were expecting might occur. I've already asked the mayor if we could have a special work session to review our entire policy and decide the key item of whether Gustavus wants to apply different or more stringent requirements than the state does. Currently, this resolution reflects what is the existing policy of the city, but in an evolving situation like we have now, we have to always be looking at whether we should change it on the fly due to the changes. So I'm okay with the amendment, but I'm looking forward to hearing a proposal from Susan to postpone to a work session. Thank you.
Well, I was just informed by Karen that a postponement would take precedent over the amendment to change the date. So are you making a motion for postponement now, Mike? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I was going to leave it to Susan because she originally raised it, but yes, I will move to postpone this resolution to be considered along with a general review of the city's policy with regard to the COVID pandemic at a time that the mayor selects. Thank you.
Karen asks that you email that.
Okay.
Go ahead, Susan.
Yeah, the motion to postpone that I sent to Karen previously suggested the date of May 19th to postpone consideration of this. There's so much new information that's coming along, and I think the council would really benefit by reevaluating and with a particular eye to figuring out how we can help the local businesses along. So my suggested date was May 19th, and we should know, it's likely we will know if the governor's going to lift Mandate 10.
Susan, the write-up that I see that you submitted actually said May 20th, and then we also need a second on Mike's motion.
Mr. Mayor, I had a discussion earlier with the clerk that May 19th would be a better day, so that's why I changed it, but I didn't get a chance to submit an updated amendment. And I second Mr. Taylor's motion to postpone.
Mr. Mayor, I have forwarded that, and I left in it that it would be a date that you would pick so that you could resolve any issue on the scheduling there.
Okay, Karen's looking at her email right now, so.
I can't go to send items.
Okay, I was just talking with Karen here, so I think what the motion on the table is that the motion is to postpone the consideration of resolution CY 20-16 regarding access to marine facilities to a special meeting that we will hold on May 20th, 2020. Special work session on May 20. And that was moved by Mike and seconded by Susan. Mike, I put in May 20th because that's the date I chose as mayor.
That sounds good to me.
So any discussion on the motion to postpone till May 20th? Okay, doesn't seem to be any discussion on that. Can we have a roll call vote on the postponement?
Vice Mayor Cannamore.
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor.
Yes.
Mayor Cassapit.
Yes.
Councilmember Clark.
Yes.
Councilmember Warner.
Yes.
Councilmember Van der Zanden.
Yes.
Councilmember Owens.
Yes.
Motion passes 7-0. That's fine. Oh, do you want to? Yeah. That's good. Cal, did you want to set a time for that meeting so that the public knows?
Yeah, work sessions are usually at 5:30, so that's what we'll shoot for. 5:30 on the 20th.
Okay.
Okay. Item 11A, City Council reports, COVID-19 Economic Stabilization Task Force. Susan?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just letting folks know that we're looking at trying to figure out how can we stand up an economic stabilization task force the way that the governor has done for the state, and the mayor of the Juneau City and Borough Assembly has done, which would be tasked with trying to deal with the economic impact component of this COVID-19 crisis. The stabilization task force would be a work group on the council with hopefully lots of participation in informal conversations with people in the public, and would be charged with figuring out and prioritizing financial assistance and promoting strategies that are going to help enable businesses to continue operating safely and to explore strategies to enable the Gustavus economy to recover long-term and act as a liaison with the governor's group. And it's very important to be clear that this is a statement from the State of Alaska group stood up by the governor, that this is a stabilization plan, not an enhancement, not an attempt to grow government, and not in place to create new programs. Rather, the plan is merely an attempt to mitigate the health and economic impacts as a result of the virus. So, Madam Clerk, could you go to the bubble chart page? So basically, addressing in particular, trying to enable the Gustavus economy for long-term recovery from the fiscal impact, I'm seeing an economic stabilization task force as working with citizens and business owners to identify and recommend potential avenues to develop $4 million per year in sales industries and $2 million per year infrastructure projects within the next 3 years. And so, for instance, it would take $4 million in sales per year businesses to raise the sales revenue to maintain our roads for 1 year. So the four industries we're talking about looking at focusing on to help our recovery is to rejuvenate the visitor industry. Number two, reinvigorate local business. Number three, elevate local food production capacity. And number four, help to develop Gustavus as a science learning and leadership destination for conferencing, conventions, festivals, and that sort of thing. And mostly these are aimed at trying to bring together people in a series of informal online meetings like this, Zoom meetings, to trade ideas about how we can be working forward to address the revenue side of our city budget issues. The two infrastructure projects, last December, the city did an online survey asking what were the most important areas for infrastructure improvement. And people said that the top, in the top three were fix our roads and establish a safe public drinking water supply to address some of the shallow well PFAS issues and some of the issues about the park no longer being able to supply private drinking water for people in Gustavus. So here's the idea. Let's see if in the next 3 years we can put our heads together to figure out how to invigorate and elevate our local businesses and figure out how we can find some grants and get the money together and get the will together to fix our frickin' roads and establish a safe drinking water supply. So this is a strategy that it seems like this is a really good time to try to pursue. And I'm going to be looking for people who have ideas and want to be creative about moving into the future here and getting over our dependence on government funding for the city budget. And I'm going to be looking for people to come and talk together. So first meeting of the group is going to be online on Sunday, this Sunday at 3:30. And I'll post tomorrow what the meeting address is going to be. So I hope to see many of the 40 people who are on here tonight, and many of the people who've been attending our city council meetings for the last couple of weeks. And any questions from anybody?
Is there any council comments for or council questions for Susan? Go ahead, Joe Clark.
Susan, this is Joe Clark. Sunday is my day of rest, and I'd like to participate, but not on that day.
Would Saturday work better?
Certainly, yes.
All right, let's announce it this evening, 5 days ahead, as the first meeting will be on Saturday at 3:30, and it'll be open to the public.
Susan, since this is a work group, are you wanting it noticed?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, I'm trying to adhere as much as I can to the protocols of council work. But thank you. So I won't worry about that constraint at this point, but I want to give people lots of notice so that they have time to get their thoughts in order and come and, you know, get some gab on.
Okay, so 3:30 on Saturday. Also, Karen, Susan, if you want to get with Karen just to make sure you got the times and dates right and stuff, and then, you know, she can also help you with the, you know, with the polls as far as participation, all that. So she can help you with all that.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll do that.
Okay, is there any other additional city council questions or comments? Doesn't appear to be. Okay, any public comment on non-agenda items? To be any public comment on non-agenda item. Oops, I just saw a hand go up. Mr. Decker, go ahead. This is non-agenda.
Yeah, I just wanted. All right, is the committee that Susan just talked about, is that an agenda item?
No, that's fine. Did you want to talk to Susan directly about that?
I could. I just wanted to compliment her. I think that that's a great idea, and compliment her for stepping forward for the businesses and the community for taking that on. So,
well, thank you, Mr. Decker, and thank you, Susan, for taking that on. And perhaps Mr. Decker has some ideas for you too.
That would be great.
Okay, we are now in adjournment. We are adjourned for this meeting. Thank you very much for hanging in there, everybody.